Sacktown. That caught me a little flat-footed, I'm not going to lie. When I heard it, it made me smile. I had not heard that one in quite some time, so well done to Mr.
Did you ever have this when you were in like high school, when you were walking through the hallways and somebody just kind of bumps you in their shoulder, right? They just kind of walk right by you and they just hit you right in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Taylor did that to me today for no reason at all. I was literally just going to the kitchen just to grab a cup of coffee.
He's letting you know.
I'm looking at the Christmas tree. I'm waving
to, some socks in the bin.
To Greg and I'm humming Christmas songs and this guy just hits coming me in with heavy? His shoulder.
Coming in heavy, coming in
knock
hot.
The coffee out of your hand. Don't even want to look at you today,
Say
Slee.
Butterfingers.
It is a, it's an act of dominance. It is a power move.
Jeez,
it is all of these
things.
We're
not playing. We're not actually in the game, you and I.
Look, it's a game between an average team and a slightly below average team that all of a sudden we've got a little something going on. I'm excited. It should be good. I hope to see you. One of you two will definitely be wearing something you don't want to wear tomorrow. That's good.
Come on, Trav. You sell the 16 and 13 Kings short.
Six, is that what they are?
Yeah. 16 and 13.
Like
above
I said,
500 this late
average,
in the season?
They're average.
It's awesome. I love the indirect shots
average.
You're taking.
That's
at the
average.
Kings. No, it is. It is. But even today we're doing the, you know, the promo and you're like, Al, stop talking about the Kings like they're the 96 Bulls.
No, but that was more directed at you than it was at him. That was more like
it was directed at both of us.
Well, look, if there was a way to get both of you with one line, I'd like to do that. That's the ultimate goal, right? To be able to hit both of you guys a long way. You got
well,
magic
I don't know
in
why
there.
You packed that, Slee. Why'd you even bring that?
Well, because you're gonna wear it tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason why.
That's your plan?
By the way, if I have to just put it back up in the closet tomorrow like nothing happened, be the most disappointing, sad moment.
So Al's got his road magic jersey, the purple magic jersey along the way. What you should do is, so is it a 7 o'clock tonight?
7 o'clock tonight.
Okay, yeah. So a game will end 10:30?
Game will end probably about 9:45, 10 o'clock.
Okay, so let's call it 10. You got, well, how long is your post? An hour?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's call that 11. Mm-hmm. You could be down to the South Bay where Taylor lives by 11:45.
Come to the lighthouse.
Give it to him. Kind of knock on his door, have it wrapped up like a present, run away.
His roommates will be fighting in the front yard again.
But yeah, there's more reason to go, right?
Hey, fellas, Taylor around? You guys throwing a haymaker and an uppercut.
When you guys are done punching each other in the head, would you mind giving this to your other roommate, Taylor Smith?
I did look at the injury report earlier today. Harrison Barnes.
I really do like that you're sweating this.
Harrison Barnes, questionable.
Sabonis, too.
Sabonis, questionable.
That's coming up, Slee.
We're in the money here.
Yeah.
I mean, we got...
For the Lakers? What's
Russ,
the injury report look like there?
Austin Reeves, doubtful. No, Russ, doubtful. Austin Reeves, questionable. LeBron, probable. So we'll have a few of our guys back.
All the different verbs. Adjectives.
Oh, yeah, all of the different states of humanity, right? You're doubtful, you're probable, or what was the other one?
Questionable,
right? I feel like I'm questionable just about every day. Like I wake up, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the end of the day. But maybe it's probable. I don't know.
The only thing missing on their injury reports is like whether they're in a good mood or not. Like I'm waiting for them to add that to the status
future
report.
Questionable.
Positive.
No, that's like COVID. You're COVID
why
positive.
Why would COVID? Isn't that funny when negative is a good thing?
Yeah, you want to be negative.
Right.
Only in diseases do you want to be negative. Everywhere else in life, being negative is not a good thing. You want to be positive.
Don't be negative.
Unless it's a disease.
I took a test for COVID.
Yeah, do you have a disease?
Negative.
No, I'm very, very negative. That's the way that you want to do. We got Ask Mace coming up today, just about 40 minutes from right now.
Oh.
We've got some good ones,
that's solid.
I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I need better. I've got a few good ones, and maybe we can do some phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. That's a good way to do it. Mace is going to be very good at this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be particularly selective about what I choose to give to him. So you guys need to up your game
We got to give him proper amount of time to do it, too. So if there's ever a day we're going to look at the clock, it might be today.
Yeah.
And then after that, and then we'll just go back to what we've been doing.
Absolutely.
But Ask Mace. Guys, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Ask Mace is a good one.
It's always good. It's never not been good. It's just degrees of goodness.
Yeah.
Right? And this one may be slightly degree-er than some of the others along the way.
Anything happened in the last 10, 12 hours in the NL West?
Yeah, that's weird.
What the hell
right?
just happened?
That's weird. Carlos Correa, who was, you know, one of the seemingly 50 free agent shortstops that signed a, you know, nine-figure deal this offseason.
For 37 years.
Was headed to the Giants on a 13-year, $360 million deal.
That's correct.
Yesterday, we were on the air. Is it right when it popped up yesterday that the Giants had a concern about something in his medicals? Right.
Well, they had a presser set up and
to
they postponed
it.
The presser.
Right.
Because of what we're assuming was something with a physical.
Something with his medical history, the Giants flagged and said, hey, we need to figure out what this is. No one's saying what it is. HIPAA laws and everything else that go along, you're not allowed to talk about people's medicals and all these things. I get it for good reason. But the Giants put the brakes on.
Yeah.
And in the time that they put the brakes on until they got the answer that would have satisfied them to go ahead with the press conference, the Mets come in with a 12-year, $315 million deal, one fewer year, 35 fewer million dollars, but it's done. He's on the Mets now. Steve Cohen, who is apparently made of money, has decided that there is nothing that he wants that he will not buy. Carlos Correa is on the Mets now today after thinking that he was going to be on the Giants yesterday.
It's funny to look on Twitter and, you know, our old buddy, did you ever work with Mark Willard?
No.
Okay. So
I know
Willard,
Mark, but I've never worked with him.
So Willard, I think here, you guys didn't cross paths, but Willard was obviously here. He's up now. KMBR up in San Francisco. And I follow some people from New York, follow some people from the Bay Area, and just kind of get a little bit of idea what's going on sports related. It's funny seeing all these timelines because this, I think it was, I want to say it was Heyman that announced it. Yeah, John Heyman announced it. And this was 10 hours ago. So that means, if you're up in San Francisco or on the West Coast, you probably already went to bed, okay?
Yeah, 10 hours ago is midnight.
You probably already went to bed, not really thinking any more of it. Maybe a little like, well, what the hell is going on with Correa? Mm-hmm. And you left it alone. And just reading everybody's tweets, dudes from New York saying, okay, just woke up. What the hell just happened? And I'm just reading Willard's tweet. Hey, just woke up. What the hell just happened? I mean, everybody kind of on the same page of this. Look, this is it's different. And I don't know how you should feel if you're a Dodger fan, because one angle of this is I kind of got a little bit excited about the fact that within the division, you got Carlos Correa now representing the San Francisco Giants, arguably the most hated player for Dodger fans, even though you wanted to see him in Dodger blue, just not for 12 years. Arguably the most hated player representing the San Francisco Giants. He was going to be there on top of all these other players that the Padres have, and we know the Dodgers are obviously going to win whatever, how many ever games that they're going to win. The fact that he went to the Mets, the fact that he's going to another really good team in the NL, the fact that they just got better as well, I can't tell if Dodger fans wanted him there, and they also didn't like the terms, and they were saying to themselves, wow, that's going to hurt them in the future, or they're happy that Carlos Correa is not representing the San Francisco Giants anymore.
It's an interesting question, but I think the answer is, for Dodger fans, I think, is a slightly different answer than Dodger organization. I think the Dodger organization probably looks at this as, I don't care, he's not on my team, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whether he's, you know, up the road in San Francisco or across the country in New York, we're going to have to beat the Giants. We're going to have to beat the Mets. It doesn't really matter which team he goes to. We obviously were not interested in getting him. They didn't get into the pool with him. So what difference does it make to me? As far as a Dodger fan, when I look at this, this was a bad deal in San Francisco. It's a bad deal in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving he's actually going to play third base for the Mets, it sounds like. Lindor will continue to be the shortstop in New York. But I don't want to give unless it's Patrick Mahomes, who's 24 or 5 years old, I'm not giving anybody a 13-year deal. I'm not giving anybody something. It seems like a really bad deal, especially when you have a bunch of other players on your roster that the Mets do who are incredibly expensive. That you go and you get Verlander. You go and re-sign Edwin Diaz. You go and re-sign Brandon Nimmo. You just go right on. And there's more. I'll give you the whole list eventually. But this, if I'm the Dodgers, I choose not to operate like this. If somebody else wants to do it, go ahead. These deals will go bad.
Lindor is on a 10-year, $341.
There you go. Mm-hmm. This will be a bad deal at some point. The question is it 2 years from now Or is it 6 years from now? Because that four-year window is a big difference. But these deals will go bad. It's what do you get done in the time before it goes bad? And I know I've used this as an example before, but I think it's a perfect example. The Angels went and got Albert Pujols after he'd done all of the good things in his career that he was going to do. Not that he wasn't still a good player,
yeah,
but the best of him was in the rearview mirror. And the Angels basically said, we're going to give you 10 years, and we're going to cross our fingers and hope like hell that in the first two or three, we hit it. That we still have the last part of his prime to kind of push us over the top and compete for World Series. That obviously didn't happen in the first part of that. It didn't happen. But really quickly after that, Albert Pujols diminished as a major league player. Now, Pujols and Correa, maybe not exactly the same thing, but the idea is the same. This thing has to hit early. Bogarts has to hit early. You look at all of these guys that got these long-term deals, you can't have these infielders, especially shortstops, that are going to be in their 40s on long-term deals. It's just a terrible, terrible way to operate unless you hit it early.
That's what I was going to say.
If you hit it early, then it's kind of a Rams situation. Hey, listen, we may have to pay the bill for a couple of years, but remember that night we had? Remember when we won that Super Bowl? If you can do that, great. But the examples of that are really rare. It very rarely works out like that.
It's kind of funny. We'll look at it just from a fan perspective. From a fan perspective, if the Mets decide to sign Correa to $300+ million, whatever it is, from a fan perspective, you know what you're saying? Well, it ain't my money, right? Not my money. Go get as stacked as you possibly can. Wait a minute. The Mets are doing what they're almost becoming the team. And I'm not saying that the New York Yankees aren't going to compete next year because they will. I think they got better in the offseason. The Astros have been the class of the AL for the last 5-6 years, whatever the case is. But what you just said was the most important thing. For some of these fan bases, what they're saying to themselves, hit once. That's it. Just hit once. If you hit once, I will tell you this. If San Diego hits once, they've never hit.
Right.
And I'm talking about in any sport. It's different for New York. I get all that. But that's the pressure that's going to come with it because you're right.
And every year you don't hit, the pressure adds.
I was going to say, because if you're 3 years down the road, if I just use the Padres as example, 3 years down the road and you never cashed one in, Soto still on your team? Is Machado still on your team? Is Tatis an idiot or did he come back and do something? Is Bogarts, is he any version of the, is he still the same player that he was when he was in Boston? The risk is crazy, but you are kind of depending on these early years that if you do hit, then you can kind of always justify, yeah, but we got one. The chances of doing that are obviously, it's very tough.
Look, we'll come back and we'll continue this conversation because there's a lot to it, but there are far more examples of this being a terrible plan than this being a very workable plan. And the Dodgers are kind of in the middle of the whole thing. We'll do that next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, the good news is that you guys are stepping up your game when it comes to your Ask Mace questions. It's coming up at 10:45. We're starting to get some very, very good ones, so that should be great. You can also call when we get to it, 877-710-ESPN. We're going to talk with Alden Gonzalez. That's coming up at 10:30. We'll kind of get his view on what the heck happened, because it's kind of interesting about how the whole thing went down yesterday, which we'll get to in just 1 second, but I just wanted to say that I'm freshly dressed.
Yes.
I have on a clean sweatshirt. My pants are clean. Everything head to toe. I got stuff in my hair. I am properly...
You put deodorant on?
Of course. Toiletried. I am properly toiletried from head to toe. Can you
tell? We're all very happy that that is the case. And, it was tough yesterday. It was tough. I could tell that you had...
Wasn't tough for us over here.
Two day old underwear.
It wasn't great. I could tell. It wasn't great.
The way you were looking into my eyes, I was like, something's wrong.
It was a little uncomfortable.
Something's wrong.
Just kind of, and a lot of people were asking, like, hey, you when you got home, you threw everything away, right? No. Got a washing machine. Everything's going to be fine. It wasn't like a dire situation. It was just, an extra day that didn't need to be happening.
Did Susan judge you a little bit?
She was horrified just by the idea of all of it.
She was scared.
She's like, what are you going to do? Yeah. What do you mean, what am I going to do? There's nothing to do. It's
just have night. Kirk do the post game.
She's just like us. That's
what I was waiting for her to say that.
You could DoorDash yourself some underwear. You could go to Target. Like, there were solutions, Travis.
Is Target open that late? I guess now, Christmas time, they would be open. You're right about that.
Speaking I'm not going to Target at 10:30.
Very happy birthday to my lovely and talented and amusing wife. Love you. And I'm looking forward to celebrating tonight. So,
awesome. What are you guys doing?
A little dinner tonight with the fam and the kids and little presents at the house and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So here's what happens in the Rogers household starting
really close
on,
to Christmas, huh?
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Just wait. Thanksgiving is always within 3 or 4 days of my birthday.
Yep.
Okay, so you go, my birthday, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Michael's birthday is in early December.
Okay.
Susan's birthday is today. Christmas, obviously, is coming up in 4 days. Bobby's birthday is on January 1st. You have New Year's Day as well. So you've got four of my five family members in about a 40-day window, plus Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's
depleted.
In that same thing.
Lovely.
Yeah. Kelly's the only one. She's in July. She
gives you guys a break.
Yeah, she's
that's actually nice. I like that. She's kind of on
she's
an island.
Little island, yeah. Yeah. That's right. Of course, her like, I'm never in school for my birthday, so you know my friends.
She does not talk like she doesn't talk like Michael. She doesn't talk like Michael. Okay.
Look. When you have children, they all kind of start to sound the same. They're all coming from the same spot. They've all grown up in the same household. They all make the same noise.
Bobby, Michael, wait, no, Kelly. Like, you get the names confused all the time?
I get the two boys mixed up occasionally.
Yeah.
Not mixed up, but I will call them by the wrong name. Like, I do recognize my children. I could say that one is Bobby and that one is Michael.
No, like there's just a general in my household, all women, all similar-ish names. And so it's just, we all get jumbled together and like, it's more like the intent, whatever we're supposed to do is how we recognize our name.
I need to figure out how I'm going to approach the celebration tonight. We're going out and we're going to a restaurant that we go to pretty regularly, not our usual spot, but a different spot that we go to.
Are you inviting Henri to the dinner?
He's driving.
Oh. Great. With
that. Hey, he's driving.
We're going to celebrate Susan's birthday. I wonder if you'd like to join us. Pull up a sixth chair at the table. I really like
that. Amazing.
I may have. I don't have his number. I need to get his number, too. There's a lot of things that you've just opened up in the world that we need to get done. What were we talking about? We were talking
dinner
about Steve
plans.
Cohen. Oh, dinner plans. Right. Work tomorrow, obviously, but I'd like to celebrate my wife's birthday appropriately, which means I have to have a martini, and there's really no point in having a martini. You got to have
oysters.
Two martinis. Where we're going is not an oyster. They may have them, but I'm not. You got to go to the right spots to get the oysters. I'm not just getting them because two martinis is basically, yeah, exactly. Two martinis is basically a slip and slide into the rest of the night.
I think you've said, two is if you're going to have one, you end up with two.
Yeah.
And then two, you're not sure what happens from
wine.
There.
Yeah. There you go. And then I come in tomorrow and I can barely open my eyes. So I don't think I'm going to do that. It's either nothing or you guys are going to have to do the show with me just kind of sitting here like a bump on a log.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah. It's up to you.
So you talked about Steve Cohen and... with Steve Cohen this morning. It's just like, again, this just seems like a crazy thing that's happening. It's just like this maniacal, almost billionaire that can do whatever he wants, and it almost seems like he doesn't have a plan. And the first thing that came to my mind was this line from The Dark Knight.
You know what I am? I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I caught it.
And he doesn't have a plan. Do I look like a man with a plan? That's what I thought.
He basically said, what's the difference? They're asking like, wait, what? Why did you decide? What's the difference? He also had a line that this puts us over the top. These are the things that if I were a Mets fan would make me take it easy, buddy. I get that you're going to have his payroll is going to be nearly $500 million. Just the payroll on his spreadsheet, right? It's 384. 384. Throw in the roughly $110 million in luxury tax that he's going to have to pay, pushes it up to 495. Okay? He's going to have $1 billion in payroll in this thing, and he obviously doesn't give a damn. And if I were a Mets fan, I would love the idea of a guy that's willing to go do whatever it takes to go do.
Yeah.
But this idea, oh, well, now we got it. Now we've got the last piece to the puzzle. Well, maybe, but here's the rub, Al. Nobody's been better than the Dodgers over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They won one World Series in a half a season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Remember when Alex Rodriguez signed with the New York Yankees a million years ago? And it was like, well, this is ridiculous. They have Williams and Rodriguez and all of these guys and Jeter. And won one. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Red Sox go out and sign Josh Beckett and all these other high-dollar players. Like, they didn't cash it in like that either. This doesn't really work. You know who's won the World Series in the last handful of years? The Giants.
The Astros.
The Astros. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Royals.
Washington Nationals.
The Washington Nationals. Not that they don't pay the Braves. These are teams that are built mostly on developing their own players and then adding some other pieces in. This is an all-star team. All-star teams very, very rarely come out on top. And so let's say 3-4 years go by that they don't win the World Series.
Yeah.
And he owes $500 million every year for the next 10 years. He didn't get this money by being crazy and stupid. At some point, okay, this isn't what I needed it to be. Now what do you do?
How much do you think this is him? How long has he owned the Mets now?
2 or 3 years?
Yeah, he got it in 2020.
Yeah.
So very recent. And he's trying to make a splash into Major League Baseball, and he's trying to show,
in New York,
I'm one of the, you know, obviously the big owners around all the sports. Steve Cohen, you know his name.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know every owner's name around all the sports. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think
it's either. You know what I mean? It's either really good or really bad.
So if he had the team for 10 years, and at that point, there's going to be an adjustment process. Like, I think there is part of it. If you're going to go own a team in New York, you got to kind of roll up your sleeves and do what you got to do. And he's got the resources to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against at all what he's trying to do there. I think it does also show that, hey, there's a commitment to winning, that we'll do everything we possibly can,
sure,
to try to go up against across the street. You got the New York Yankees. Doesn't mean it's smart. It doesn't mean it's going to cash in. I think that's the point that you're making.
Yeah.
But I'm still, if I'm sitting here and I'm a Mets fan, I'm saying to myself, okay, I don't know how you're going to spend. This is the best example I always give to the Dodgers. You're not supposed to be both. You're not supposed to have all the money in the world and be smart with it. Mets is a perfect example. Is he has all the money in the world, and I can't tell you if he's being smart with
we'll
it.
We'll find out.
I don't know, right?
Right.
And I think that's part of the... that's part of the challenge when you're an owner like he is. But if he had owned the team for 15 years, maybe that's a different story. I think part of this, you're trying to make a splash,
no
and
question.
You're doing all that. Now, these numbers are crazy. I'm not going to tell you that they're not.
That's another topic. You're right. But look, this is great back page stuff. This is win the press conference stuff. This is you are the talk of the town on December 21st.
Yeah.
You're the talk of the town when spring training opens, right? Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Justin Verlander in a Mets uniform. Carlos Correa in a Mets uniform. And all of these unbelievable. And then the season starts, and now it's just a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very expensive one, but it's just a baseball team.
Are the personalities the right fit? Is the manager making the right decisions? And it's not like the Mets are coming off. I mean, the Mets lost...
They cratered last year.
They cratered with basically, I want to say there were 5 days they were not,
something like that,
that they did not have the division lead.
Less than a week.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they lost it in a series against the Braves. You just couldn't get swept. They got swept. Now they're all of a sudden in a 3-game matchup against the Padres, and hey, it's not a good matchup. Padres have 3 good starting pitchers. All they got to do is have 2 guys that come out and have a good, couple good games. I want to say Darvish did it and Musgrove did it.
Mm-hmm.
Snell had the bad one, and then all of a sudden the Mets were out. But they were in the picture. They were in the mix. Their roster. How many times have we said this? On paper, looks amazing.
Sure.
We'll just see how it pans out.
It will probably pan out poorly. It usually does. When you build these super teams, it very rarely works. The Dodgers have done it for 10 years in a row. Not to this degree where you're spending that kind of money. Dodgers spend a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But they're far more strategic in how they go about doing it. All of these great Dodger teams over the last 10 years, the backbone of the team is guys that they drafted and developed, or guys that they went other places and got on the cheap, guys like Justin Turner, guys like that that are able to do it.
They're going to try to do a Noah.
It's Kershaw. Mm-hmm. It's Bellinger. It's Will Smith. It's Urias. It's Bueller. It's these are the guys that are the backbone of this team, and then you add in a Mookie Betts, a Freddie Freeman, and put these things together. It's very rarely where you just kind of throw everything in there and say, all right, it's going to work out. It doesn't. At the time, the Washington Commanders named a different team. They tried to do it. We saw the Baltimore Ravens try to do it. We've seen when Vince Young signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, if you would put together this.
Lakers tried to do it.
The Lakers
have tried to do it a couple times.
It doesn't work very often, mm-hmm. and it really doesn't work in baseball, where even if you are the best team, that gives you like a 35% chance of winning the whole thing.
If it's such a – look, the Dodger thing is such a good example, but the Dodger thing can be worked either way. Because what I could say, look – look how the Dodgers have done it. They've done it the right way. They're developing players. They got one of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball. Go down the list of all the positives that comes with the Dodgers. But you said something. With all that, they have won in a 60-game season, and that's all they have to show for it. And that's not to say that they haven't had success in other places, but ultimately the Dodgers are not trying to, hey, but we had a great regular season. That's not how it works. Can't I also make an argument the other side that because the Dodgers only have won in a 60-game season, that blueprint, there's also, like, the Mets, it's kind of a crapshoot of what happens. Get to the playoffs, have the most talent that you can have, and kind of take your chances with it. I will say with some of the guys that they did get, Verlander does have World Series experience. Mm-hmm. Carlos Correa does have World Series experience. So at least they're bringing in guys. Yes, are they overpaid? They cash one in. Nobody will say anything.
Here's the other part of this, and we're going to get Alden Gonzalez from ESPN's insight on this when we come back. That did the Giants kind of spit the bit and screw this up and lose a guy that they really wanted? Or was this more
weird.
This is something that maybe we have second thoughts on. Is there a way out of this? We'll get Alden's thoughts on that. Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, so a lot of people woke up this morning and said, hey, what? Carlos Correa is a New York Met and not a member of the San Francisco Giants, as we've been thinking for the last several days. Alden Gonzalez joins us right now. Of course, he covers Major League Baseball for ESPN and ESPN.com. Alden, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Doing a little tired. Was up a little late last night, but doing all right.
Okay, so let me start with this. And maybe we'll never know, because the medical stuff can be tricky to get to the bottom of. But is this more of a case of the Giants having a second thought and wanting to kind of reconsider their position on Carlos Correa, and that they're not all that upset that he's on another team? Or was this they had a medical consideration that they wanted to discuss further, and the Mets jumped in at the last minute and grabbed him away?
I think it's a little bit more of the latter. It's interesting because people that we spoke to in the industry, and obviously these were not people who were in the camp of Scott Boras' agency, which represents Carlos Correa, or with the Giants, but it's people who tend to know about these things. The thought was generally that maybe this, at the end, this is probably not going to be a 13-year contract anymore. But this deal is not necessarily in jeopardy. This is not something that the Giants would just completely rescind the contract over. Obviously, these people were not speaking with knowledge about specifically what the medical issue was. But Scott Boras talked to The Athletic earlier this morning about it, and it seems pretty logical if you're covering it from afar, that the Giants are taking too long. And we know that the Mets were in on Carlos Correa before he chose the Giants. We know that Steve Cohen has a lot of money to burn, obviously. And we know that Francisco Lindor really wanted to be teammates with Carlos Correa. And I think it was a situation where the Giants were evaluating this medical issue. They were taking a little bit too long. And Scott Boras is incredibly aggressive. Steve Cohen is incredibly aggressive. And they just decided, we're going to take this offer because we don't know what the end result is going to be with the Giants. And what you have is, quite frankly, one of the biggest stunners that I have ever covered in covering baseball. And I've covered a lot of them.
Alden, we were just talking about what the Mets are doing and their payroll and kind of their, since Steve Cohen has got there, it's less about let's go develop guys, let's just go pay players. Correa is obviously a perfect example of that. What do you make of the type of money that he's spending? What do you make of what kind of success that you think that can have? I mean, the Dodgers have probably run over the last 10 years as well as you can possibly run a baseball franchise, and they have one World Series to show for it, and it's a 60-game in a 60-game set. What do you make of what the Mets are doing?
I mean, I love it. I really do. I think it just sets a different standard for what billionaire owners are capable of. Now, I think Steve Cohen is more of a billionaire, I think, than any of the 29 other owners. But, I mean, you started off this question by saying that they're paying players instead of developing them. I would push back on that, because you could pay players at a premium on your major league roster and then still develop them in your minor league system. And I think that's what they're doing. Rather than rush prospects up to the big leagues when Steve Cohen got there, they made headway in free agency and then just sort of let their prospects develop. Now, obviously, some of the penalties with going over the luxury taxes, you get first-round draft picks moved back, you lose some international bonus pool money. But look, guys, at the end of the day, this is all going to come down to a simple thing. Is Steve Cohen going to continually be willing to pay exorbitant amounts of money in luxury tax penalties? Right now, his tax bill is about $380 million. Keep in mind that the highest tax threshold, that fourth tier that was introduced into the new collective bargaining agreement, which everybody calls the Steve Cohen tax, is $293. He has completely blown past that for next year. He's looking at a tax bill of about $100 million next year. But if Steve Cohen, who is a diehard Mets fan, who is incredibly rich, is just totally okay with being like, all right, fine, $100 million, here you go. It's kind of a drop in the bucket for him. Then he could do this for as long as he wants. Mm. And look, it's why there was some pushback when Steve Cohen was trying to get approved to be the Mets' new owner. A lot of owners were worried that he was going to spend to this extent and drive up prices in the way that we've seen this offseason and not care about any of the penalties and basically change the game in that regard. And I think that's exactly what's happening.
Aldo Gonzalez covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. And the what you're just talking about kind of goes together with what I want to ask you next, Alden. And there's always been haves and have-nots in Major League Baseball. There's always been the Yankees on one end, and there's always been the Oakland A's and some other teams on the other end. Is this different than that? Like you just talked about, the Cohen tax, where we're talking about one guy specifically going over the threshold by nearly $100 million, paying $100 million in tax. And I understand that there are always going to be teams that are in competitive and economic disadvantaged positions, but this feels really different to me. Am I wrong where you're going to have the Dodgers, Yankees, you know, Cubs, Braves in one category, and you're going to have 20 or 25 other teams in another?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, but I will tell you that we've seen that throughout baseball history. When George Steinbrenner was still alive, we saw the Yankees spend money like that. But I think that's always been the case. That's what happens when you play in a sport that has no salary cap. And, you know, some people have brought up the possibility of introducing something of a salary floor, because you look at a team like the Marlins, who play in that same division, who haven't made, I don't think, a single off-season transaction this year. I'm being hyperbolic, but they've done almost nothing, and they're trying to contend, and they obviously can't contend at those sums. But look, I mean, a salary floor was brought up during the labor negotiations. The union pushed back on that because it would also require a salary ceiling, and it would resemble a salary cap, and that is something that the Players Association is adamantly against. I will say, I think baseball, because of that reality that there's no salary cap and because of the different dynamics in different markets, specifically with the different sizes of TV deals and fan bases, you're always going to have a situation where, at least to some extent, it's haves and have-nots. But look, you guys brought it up earlier. The Dodgers have a lot. One championship in a 60-game season.
Right.
I think the nature of baseball allows for teams that don't spend a lot of money to still contend if they're smart about it. And I think also just the randomness of the postseason, which is even more random now with more teams, allows teams to make deep runs. But Steve Cohen has made it clear that you're going to have to spend some money, at least some money, if you want to contend in the sport right now. And I will say, it's not just Steve Cohen. Look at Peter Seidler in San Diego, spending a lot of money too. Look at John Middleton in Philadelphia, also spending a lot of money and being aggressive. You're seeing a lot of aggressiveness from teams. The Texas Rangers, the Giants trying to spend all this money. You're seeing a lot of aggressiveness throughout the sport, and I think that's all good.
Alden, final one for me. The Dodgers have been, just kind of compared to other off-seasons that they've had, we're talking about all these big-time players, like you mentioned, going to the Padres or going to the Phillies or going to the Mets. What have you made of the Dodgers off-season?
They want to get under the luxury tax threshold. From my understanding, they won't come out and say this, and I will add that they were still going to open themselves up to be opportunistic, even if it meant exceeding the luxury tax for a third straight year, which means, you know, really some really big penalties if the market would have dropped on some of the best free agents. We saw, with regard to how this offseason played out, that wasn't going to be the case. These free agents were signing for a lot of money. And so I think one thing that Andrew Freeman has shown is that if that opportunity to capitalize is not there, he's not going to go chase it and sign what he thinks is a bad contract, which, I mean, you could argue the merit to that. But I think we've known from the beginning that this was going to be an offseason when the Dodgers were more conservative, when they were going to open up a path for younger players to get more playing time. I think they'll still be good because they still have a lot of star talent and they know how to limit runs better than anybody. But, you know, you look at this roster and there's a lot of holes and there's a lot of question marks on it. I think part of the reason too, and this is another thing that the Dodgers won't come out and say flatly, but I think the uncertainty over Trevor Bauer and whether or not they're going to have to owe him up to $34 million next season if an arbitrator cuts his suspension in half, I think that also plays a difference with regard to their financing.
Alden Gonzalez covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. Alden, thanks for your time. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Alden.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. So I want to come back and after Ask Mace, which we're going to do next, but the answer to the first question, that this is more that the Mets seized an opportunity. They saw a little crack of daylight and they ran through it, as opposed to the Giants going, hey, what the hell did we buy last night? And can we still cancel the order? I think those are such different results, and obviously it changes the way that you look at the Giants. That's coming up in just a little bit, but it is time.
Ask Mace.
Coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, so we've taken Wednesdays and kind of transitioned it from an Ask Slee, which we're still doing on Mondays and Fridays, but Wednesday is kind of a guest host, a guest pinch hitting appearance. Steve Mason is our guy today. It's going to be an Ask Mace day. Good morning, Mace. How you feeling?
Good morning. I'm feeling great, guys. I am honored to be selected as the honorary question answerer today.
Well, I don't know if this puts pressure on you or not, but I honestly am looking as forward to you doing this as him, because you have been an Ask Slee participant really since we've launched this thing. So I have high expectations for you, Mace.
Oh, well, I hope to meet. It's very hard to fill the shoes of Slee.
Sure. Yes.
All right. Let's start. let's start with Cap from Whittier. And Cap writes, if you had to fight anybody at the station, who would it not be? The last person you'd want to fight at the station?
Oh, that's a great question. The last person I would want to fight at the station is Ireland. I think Ireland is unbelievably soft. Rich guys are always, always easy to beat. He may hammer me with a golf club, but I would be able to attack and win against John Ireland.
Because if it's the other side, you know, I'm going, I don't want to fight DeMarco. I don't want to fight Kirk.
No.
I don't want to fight anybody who's an athlete and has some size to them that we're stepping away from.
No
question.
It's a weird cut. You want to stay away from the athletes for sure, and you want to stay away from the bigger guy. Anybody that's like a radio guy feels like an easy mark. Am I crazy about
that? Can I tell you honestly, though, I would really love to kick Sedano's ass. It would make me very happy to drop Sedano like a bag of rocks.
Why would that be at the top of your list?
What we could do, Mace, we get the table out of the way in the studio. We got kind of a ring here.
Kind of the right shape.
We can sell tickets on the outside. We got people looking through the window.
I want George wearing a mock turtleneck and, you know, like a little flower in his lapel and all that stuff when he's dressed up for TV. That's the Sedano I want to kick that guy's ass.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Hector in San Diego, who's got one for us. What's up, Hector?
Hey, what up, fellas? And again, thank you for letting me bat off, lead off after my fellow San Diegan Kaplan, which I really love. But like Sue's, you know, today is all about us. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
A little extra special. Thank you, Trav. But yeah, it's a little special for me because this is my first post-cancer birthday. And I have faith it's definitely not going to be my last. So
it's awesome.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Hector, that is terrific news. That is terrific news, and tears to many, many, many more.
Yes.
I know that you went through the fight and you had the surgery and everything else. You were keeping us updated on all this. That today is your birthday is hopefully the first of many, many more to come, my friend.
Ah, great news, man. Great news, Hector.
Do you want to ask something?
Thank you, brother.
You want to ask Mace something weird about who he'd like to fight?
Oh, no, I don't want to do that. But I do want to thank all the listeners because they always send me some good wishes. And I'm glad to start my day with my peeps and my fellow Padre fan, obviously just being asleep in this radio station. And in lieu of presents today, please go buy something Padres related. We need to pay everyone, every single baseball player we decided to buy now since we're a luxury team all of a sudden, which I really appreciate. So,
cool, man.
But Mace, I haven't asked Mace for you.
Okay.
Mace, what's worse, faking that it's your birthday at a chain restaurant to get a crappy free dessert? Or faking it's your birthday at a retail store to get an additional 15% off your purchase. Travis Lee, All-Stars.
Thanks.
What's worse is the question.
Yes.
I will say that the faking of the birthday at the department store. By the way, is there a department store that gives you 15%
off? I was just going to ask you the same thing, Mace. I've never even heard of that.
I mean, I would run that scam, I think. I don't think it's fair, but I would definitely run that scam. My birthday's every day. When I go to Ross Dress for Less, it's my birthday. Hey, 15% off.
15% off hoodies and hats.
I will tell you a story. We like to send the birthday cake and the whole ceremony to somebody it's not their birthday. You know how this works, right? So we did it. We were at a Benihana in Honolulu. And Michael Thompson, John Ireland, everybody, Mike Trudell, everybody who's at this thing, we sent Michael Thompson a birthday. We told him it's Michael Thompson's birthday. They bring out this cake with a candle in it, and he has no idea what's going on.
Oh, it's amazing.
Finally figures it out and blows out the candle. But it was hilarious to watch Michael Thompson deal with that.
Love it. All right, next one.
I like the blind one. The thing I wouldn't do good if I know I'm going to choke. I'm going to be like, oh, that's great. What's the day today? I'd be like, I have no idea. I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Daniel Tapia writes, which four people, dead or alive, sit at your table and talk to you while smoking a J?
Oh, that is great. I'm going to go Seth Rogen.
Oh.
Willie Nelson.
Hmm.
And Bill Maher. Those are I know they're all stoners. I know for a fact they're all stoners. I should add Woody Harrelson. I smoked out with Woody Harrelson one time. In a really strange situation. I ended up in some sort of mansion in Malibu when I was smoking out with Woody Harrelson and his brother Cliff. So he would also be a good addition. But I think Mar, Snoop, and Seth Rogen would be a hilarious table.
So I like that. That's a good list. But do you not want somebody at the table who's not a regular user, just so you can see how that goes, like Ireland or somebody who's not in that end of the pool?
I see. The straight man. How about who would be...
Mace, it's gonna ruin your high. I say just stay with people who are high.
It is. It's gonna crush my buzz. So yeah, I'm gonna go with all stoners. All stoners at that table.
All right, here's another one. 805 Raider says, Mace, when did you first start eating in bed and why did it stick?
Okay. So let's see. It's been years. I've eaten every meal in bed, and I have for many, many years. When did it start? It started when I lived over in Venice, and we lived in a very, very small condo. and there was really no kitchen table. It was only 800 square feet, so there was no kitchen table. There was just a kitchen, a bathroom, and a bedroom. And the most obvious place to eat was the bedroom. So since then, it has stuck. Even though we moved from that place, you know, 6 years ago, we still eat in bed.
So it was at a necessity in the beginning, and now it's just become luxury.
It's just luxury, yeah. To me, don't you guys, when you go to a hotel and you stay in a hotel and you get room service, don't you eat in bed when you get room service?
I do not.
Nor do I.
It's like the most incredible, delicious thing in the world is to eat a steak in bed on the first night of room service.
I think you're on an island. You and Emily.
I don't understand why. By the way,
I love how he goes steaks where he needs his utensils, too.
I think you guys do it, and you're just not admitting it. I think more people eat in bed than you think.
No, I have admitted to many embarrassing things on this show, so I am happy to share my peccadilloes out there with the universe, but that's just gross.
Okay,
man.
I have had breakfast in bed, but that's like once a year. You know?
Yeah, breakfast in bed, dinner in bed, snacks in bed.
Ramen in bed, ribs, the whole thing.
Donuts in bed.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's all purpose.
All right, here's one from Jesus Jaquez, and he's got like six in one particular tweet. So
wow.
I'm going to read them all to you, Mace. You pick which ones you want to answer. I do need this one first. He says, what is your standard In-N-Out order? That's kind of the Travis Lee point of entry. What is it?
It's basic, straight up, double plus fries animal style and the milkshake.
Okay, that's about right. Is there do you
pretty
go
basic. Pretty
do you
basic.
Go the same shake every time? Do you mix it up? Have
yeah,
you ever tried
milkshake?
The Neapolitan shake? Have you ever hit that?
I have hit the Neapolitan. Yeah, I like that a lot.
How full are you?
How full am I?
Yeah, by the time you're done with the shake, the fries, and the burger, I don't know about you, I can't move for a day and a half.
That's pretty much a meal. I mean, their burgers are big, their fries are... I think that is a full meal. I don't think I can go further than that. But I guess I'm pretty basic at In-N-Out.
All right, here's another one from Jesus. What is the best and worst Christmas gift you've ever received?
The best Christmas gift I ever received was a big wheel when I was 6 years old.
Awesome.
That was the best. It's been straight downhill since then.
Those were the best gifts when you were younger. Yeah.
God bless my mom, but she never gets the size right on anything she buys me. She'll get it wrong every. She'll like buy me a medium of something, and I'm like, I was a medium when I was in college. I am no longer a medium. So she gets the size wrong every time. I would never tell her. I hope she's not listening. I don't think she is, but she does not know what size I wear.
All right, one more, Mace, and this is bringing it back to the station here. This is from Philly Phil, and he says, "Who is the most self-absorbed ESPN personality?" And there are five choices. You ready?
Yep.
Kellerman, Sedano, Kaplan, you, or someone else?
You know, I'm going to circle back to my favorite guy at the station, the one I'd like to drop like a bag of rocks, Sedano. He really thinks he's a big shooter, I'm telling you. And we take him down during crosstalk every single day. But George, his favorite person is George. There's no question. I think he is the blue ribbon winner on this.
I had a, by the way,
I've really gone after Sedano today. I'm going to hear it this afternoon.
That Sedano was the answer to two of these. Who is the most inflated ego and who you would like to fight? That he's both of those.
We'll have to save this and play it for George this afternoon.
Mace, I got one quick one for you. What is Steve Mason doing in 5 years?
Steve Mason in 5 years is still doing Mason in Ireland, and I'm doing my podcast is going to go daily. But I intend to do at least five more years at ESPN. That's my goal. Five more years.
Will you have fought Sedano by then?
Oh God, Sedano will be long gone. You know how often we change the afternoon show. I mean, I've worked with so many afternoon shows now. I'm sure they've got guys lined up.
Thanks, Mace. We'll see you in a couple hours.
All right, cool. See you in a bit.
All right, Mace.
You got it. Yeah, told you he'd be good at that. I like that Sinano got two of them. The guy he'd like to fight and the guy that has the most inflated ego. I didn't think that he'd get both of those.
Tell me this is not a ring.
You're right about the shape. It's a little more narrow on this end. It gets a little wider out there. So I don't
know. You got to be strategic when you're fighting.
Rope-a-dope would work in here or not, but maybe it would. I don't know. Again, very quickly, happy birthday, Hector. That's great
shout
news.
Out to Hector.
I'm glad that seeing some people here on the Twitter stream as well, wishing you good wishes and happy birthday, Hector. That is great. I'm glad you're feeling well, and I owe you a round of golf. I said, you get right, and we'll go out there and we'll play a little golf, and we're going
to
do that.
Awesome. I also have something to tease. So I've been having I have kind of a thing that I kind of get myself into around Christmas time every year regarding presents. So I'll talk about it on the other side.
All right. Emily has, hopefully it's about my present. That's what I'm most interested in. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.